From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports on Dog Bites.
Touchdown, Dogs win it!
From the Athens Banner Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Hey, what's up? Welcome in, everyone. We are back for the podcast G-Day week edition, and we were kind of skipped a week while Ryan was busy covering the Masters. I didn't hear much about that. How'd that thing turn out? Who won that thing?
Yeah, it was a surprise. Somebody hadn't won a major in about 11 years snuck in there and ended up taking the Masters. His name's, Tiger Woods, I think is his name. Yeah, it was a ruckus around there, I tell you. I think the media members were kind of pulling for him. There's a loud applause in the media center as he sank that last putt. So, a little odd, but good for Tiger. Tiger's back.
That's Ryan Dennis, sports editor of the Athens Banner-Herald. I'm Mark Weiser, UGA beat writer. Ryan is wearing, by the way, I'll tell you, he's got like a green Masters pullover. He's got a blue Masters baseball cap.
Yeah.
And I believe if you go to his car in the back seat, he's got like a throw towel, some flip-flops, and what else?
No, this is the only thing. I only bought the hat this year, the little pullovers from last year, but of course I went with a list for other people, you know.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, you didn't send me in there.
You didn't mention that we're going to talk about Georgia football. Have we mentioned that? I guess we did mention G-Day. We'll talk about the Bulldogs and basketball coming up, signing day, the second edition, and some other Georgia sports coming up. But back to the Masters briefly. Ryan, how much money do you think that you did to stimulate the Augusta economy, or actually the Augusta national economy, with your merchandise? How much did you spend in that golf pro shop?
Well, you know, the thing is, like, I didn't spend much on myself. I go with a list, you know. Hey, you going to the Masters? Can you get me this? You're going? Can you get me that? So I put a $170 dent in to mine. But, you know, a part of our media group had, things. They were finding a fan of the day, and one of the fans of the day was walking out with three bags that she could barely carry, and it was $1,500 worth of stuff. So she's probably more the norm than I was as far as how much it's spent in there, because it's a lot of good stuff that, you know, it's hard to pass up, but somehow I did this past week.
All right, I didn't mention this. I'm going to rank my confidence level from most to least confident position-wise for Georgia as we are in our final week of the spring. Ryan, Game of Thrones is back. What does that mean to you? Did you drive straight from Augusta National to a TV or dial it up on your HBO to go?
Absolutely not. I never got into it. Are you a big Winter is Coming fan, or are you glued to it?
I have never watched an episode.
Me neither.
I do watch Billions on Showtime, but I am way back a couple of seasons, so don't ruin it for me if you do watch it. That's a very good show. Wall Street, etc.
No.
You don't know anything about that?
There's not really a show I follow.
Incorrect. If you ever talk to Ryan at about 10, 11 morning, I don't even know what time it's on, he's got this thing called The Price is Right he enjoys. Got
to watch that.
And also, I believe it's Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah. Two shows get me through my morning. Absolutely.
All right. All right. One thing I can say about... Now, there was no stoppage of weather on Sunday at the Masters. Did they... I mean, obviously, they moved up the time.
I think they made the right call, yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't near as bad as I don't think they thought. I mean, we thought there was, you know, possible tornado warnings coming through and stuff. I mean, we just got a good little soaking for about an hour, which probably would have been... Let me think about time of this. It was probably 4:30, so it would have been, you know, they probably would have been like eight holes in by that point, and they probably would have had a halted play, but they were already done by that point and had the green jacket ceremony. But we were all thinking, because by the time we left out of there at 6:30 or so, I mean, the sun was out. It was beautiful. So I guess, they made the right call to miss that one wave that we had, but other than that, they probably could have gotten it in with a little bit of a pause in between.
Now, this may be an unpopular take, but I'm okay with weather warnings interrupting the Masters, especially the way CBS did it, which is they split the screen. They had the meteorologists on, giving, instructions or what neighborhood it was going to hit, what city it was going to hit. And they had the golf on the right side that you couldn't hear the commentary. You can watch that on the Masters app if you need to get the exact thing.
See, I never actually saw. I heard the complaints. I thought they just cut in and took the Masters off altogether. So they actually had it split. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's not terrible.
The woman that's a meteorologist on CBS. I can't remember her name.
Valdez.
What's that?
Valdez. That sound right?
I don't think so. But she's I think she's a Georgia grad. She said that lives are more important than golf.
Yeah, that's true.
And on the back night of Masters, let me think about
that. Some people would debate that.
Yeah. No, I think she has a point. But yeah.
Were they off in time to see the end with Tiger's putts?
Yeah, I think
that?
They were off by 15-ish, maybe. Something like that.
There you go.
Something like that.
So about the point that he won the Masters. So there you go. I mean, that's good timing.
All right. Did you see any celebrities there? I think I saw Mike Bobo tweet out that he was like on 18, took a picture there. Maria Taylor was there. Michael Phelps. Give me who you saw that you were like, dude, I think that's so-and-so.
I don't know. I know Michael Phelps was there. I didn't see him, but somebody was telling me about it. But there was the biggest dude I've ever seen. He was about 6'8". And looked like he worked out every minute of every day. He had to have been a football player, but I can't tell you who it was.
Why didn't you just ask him?
Because he was on the other side of the gallery from me. I would have had to yell, and that's strictly frowned upon.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about G-Day, what it might look like from a weather and attendance standpoint, and then we'll get into those position groups that we're feeling pretty good about and not so much. All right, I checked the weather app this morning. By the way, do we say we're recording this Tuesday afternoon? We are. And I think the forecast looked like upper 50s, maybe winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. It maybe could have changed, which I guess is probably not ideal spring football weather for April 20th. Do you think that will affect the attendance at all? You think people are cool? You know, that's just throwing a little light jacket.
Yeah, it probably will. I mean, I think the whole weekend in general would affect everybody with Easter and all. But, yeah, that is a little cool, I guess. But I think fans would probably take that more than, you know, 85 to 90 and blazing hot. So, I don't know. It'll probably be 75,000 or so, maybe.
All right, so the attendance last year was announced at 82,100.
And that was without an end zone.
Yeah, I guess that would be about right. Which was not, I guess it was the 93,000 announced Kirby's first year in 2016. What's your projection this year? I'm going to go with 76,000. And we could call it whatever we want, and Georgia could shape it that way because nobody's going to be really. There's no turnstile counts on this thing. Yeah. It's whatever they want to call it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Probably 70,000. Like I said, I think the you know, the whole weekend it'll probably affect some with Easter and all, not wanting to come up and all. But yeah, I think overall everybody's got high hopes about this team. Wants to come see what they're all about, and especially some of those new guys. So,
all right, here we go. We're going to do the position groups from least confident to most. Ryan, your role in this exercise is to say if I have this position group too high or too low.
You know, all my years of Price is Right will come into play here.
All right. So the first group I start out with, I'm thinking that this is probably the, I wouldn't say weakest link, but just the biggest question at this stage, and there'll be some change in terms of guys coming in, but I'm going first with the tight end group, and I wrote about it today. Check it out at onlineathens.com.
Correct.
You got Charlie Warner. You have John Fitzpatrick, who's got really good height, good size for a guy to go over the middle and, you know, catch passes there. But for a Georgia offense that did a lot of two tight end sets last year, they got walk-ons in the third and fourth string. Now that's going to change. You're bradington out of Bradenton, Florida. You're bringing in the Eli Wolf, the Tennessee grad transfer. And then you have Rylan Goede coming off a torn ACL out of Kennesaw Mountain. Tell me, do you agree? Is this too low? Is it right? Give me your feedback, Mr. Dennis.
No, that seems like the right spot. I mean, when Charlie, who's proved that he can play, is your main guy in a team that like to run a lot of two tight end sets and whatnot, and none of the others are proven, I guess that could have you a little worried going into this weekend and into the season. You know, I guess it will be interesting to see what Wolf can do when he comes in, but he ain't here yet. So I think you're pretty accurate on having them low on the G-Day totem pole.
All right, I'm going with punter next, and I'm going to break down the special teams. I'm not having a long snapper group. I'm going with the punter next, and you know, I'm going to break down the punter different from the other, you know, specialists per se. Jake Camarda was kind of inconsistent last season. He was kind of shaky, and the season ended, you know,
the knee down. And
you saw the knee down. You saw the shank punt. He's got a big leg, and that's a good thing. Not all the time, though. You want to be able to have a little bit of touch on it when you're pooching it, when you're trying to down the ball inside the 10, that kind of thing. So let's see what he does. But for now, I mean, for a team that doesn't have that many, you know, glaring weaknesses, I think punter is still a question mark. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. But, you know, freshman year, you know, it's got to be tough to come in and, you know, be that guy from the very start. And, you know, I guess he didn't really improve as the season progressed. But I think he's a guy that everybody has, you know, great confidence in by judging how he's done in the past. I guess he needs to get a little bit of a mental issue with it, you know, and maybe not so scared or timid all the time. And I think once he does, he'll be the guy. He'll be the guy, and I think they'll be okay. But, yeah, I mean, I think he's right on that list because he hadn't proven that he's that guy yet. But
all right,
maybe this G-Day, he'll kill a couple. And
all right, so far Ryan is just agreeing that my the way I have these ordered is perfect. So let's see if he's ever going to deviate from that.
Nope.
All right. Was that your cell phone going off in the middle of the podcast?
Sorry.
Jeez, oh flip. All right, here we go. Defensive line is next, and look, I mean, Kirby has talked about how thin they are. They're missing Julian Rochester and Mikael Carter. This spring, you've had guys kind of, you know, Jordan Davis emerged last year, very athletic for a guy his size. But the question is, you know, can he keep his weight down between April and August, you know, to get them to be in the spot that they would like him to be? Justin Young is a name that's popped up a little bit this spring, a guy that was sort of forgotten, and we'll see. You know, you have this happen sometimes. I mean, I believe Mark Webb was talked a lot about last spring, and then once the season came around, he was, you know, sort of a role player, you know, didn't hold on to that first team spot. But I'm going to be curious to see what it looks like. And you know, obviously Malik Herring, Tyler Clark in particular is a guy that's been inconsistent but shows a lot of ability. This is an important group coming in on the defensive line, led by, who am I talking about here on the defense? Trayvon Walker, the 4-star out of Upson Lee. He's leading, you know, there's like 4 guys coming in at that position, and they're going to be counting on these guys to pitch in.
Right. Well, I guess it kind of depends on how healthy Jordan is, Jordan Davis. You know, he was kind of the guy that stood out there by, you know, before his injury there near the end of the season. But yeah, it is a position that they've been hurting with for a long time, and I think you kind of mentioned that. You know, the last guy was it Gino that was the last all SEC player at that position,
first team all SEC.
So yeah, they've been looking for that guy for a couple of years now, and you know, I think that they got the talent there. They just got to kind of prove that, you know, Jordan can stay healthy, first of all, and these other guys that are coming in can come in and eat up that space. Big, beefy guys, you know what I'm saying? So, once again, I think that's a pretty good spot by you. I'm not going to disagree with your positioning of the defensive line. You know, that's a place they've been trying to fill for quite a while now. We're finding the right guys, so.
All right. We got to speed this along because we have certain windows for these podcasts that we're trying to give you so you're not spending we don't want you to get home from your commute and have to just stay in the driveway or stay in the car
glued to the radio.
All right, I'm putting wide receivers next, and I think this is a group in particular that can definitely jump up a lot depending on what we hear out of August. But for now, you're talking about J.J. Holloman, you're talking about Tyler Simmons, you're talking about Demetrius Robertson. You know, Matt Landers has been kind of talked about as making some big plays in these scrimmages. Also having some drops, you know, but there's going to be a lot of guys coming in. They're going to make an impact here. Dominique Blaylock, George Pickens, the 5-star, the grad transfer coming in from Miami as well. So there's definitely room there for this group to You know, if those guys can pan out, I think you're asking a lot. Although Dominic Blaylock, the way he looked in that U.S. Army game was certainly encouraging for whatever those All-Star games are worth.
I think several of those guys in the All-Star game, but Blaylock looked really good. And, you know, he's a guy that's been, you know, what did he commit out his sophomore year of high school? It just seems like a guy that, and obviously Georgia lost one with the other receiver that went to Oklahoma. But, I don't think that's too concerning a position. And apparently if Demetrius Robertson, who if you check onlineathens.com, will be on there later, maybe.
It's already posted. Come on, Ron, read the paper. The online site.
But anyway, you know, I think he's a guy that everybody expects to step up and you know, take the place of those guys that left. But I don't think there's much concern there. I think they'll be okay.
All right, next, by the way, are you continuing to agree with my well-thought-out list here?
I've lost track of where we are in the list, but yeah, that sounds good. If you go to running back, though, I think that Georgia...
Well, we're not there yet.
I think that's a spot that doesn't need to be too low on your list either.
Well, we're moving up. So the next one I'm putting is returners, only because Mecole Hardman was a game-breaker type guy, very explosive. And, you know, you went from having... you know, Isaiah McKenzie to Mecole Hardman. So you're kind of used to a guy that could get you 20, 30 yards, you know, a pop on a punt return, if not take it the distance and have that ability as well on kick returns at times.
Well, I think that might be a position that could be higher on your, or higher, lower, however you want to look at
you're
it.
You're talking about more concern. Okay, yeah. So that would be lower.
Yeah, there you go. Lower on your list because, I mean, not only is it replacing Mecole, it's the guy they're talking about. I mean, I think they even threw Swift's name out there maybe as a possible return. I don't think you want to be doing that. I mean, you need to find somebody that can, you know, go in there and not risk your top running back at that position. I know people say sometimes, you know, just get your best athlete back there to return, but I don't think Swift is the guy you want. So, yeah, I would be very interested to see if Blaylock can come in there and see what he could do and, you know, provide them a spark on returns and all.
James Cook, Brian Heron, some other guys that will be in the mix there. All right, let's pick up on this, the rest of my list after this. All right, Ryan tells me we got to pick up the pace here. So, next on the list is running backs, and we're talking about going from least confident to most confident. Here's why I have that, and this is RBU, right? That's the claim, and with rightfully so with what they've done the last like 4 years, you know, at least. What happens if DeAndre Swift goes down and you know, Georgia fan, knock on wood on that, I guess. But, I mean, Brian Herion's your number two guy back. If it's, you know, November, we presume that Zamir White's going to be at a different level in terms of back to the old Zamir White. But what do you think? I mean, what's behind Swift and how confident do you feel that, you know, if they have to go to the 2 and 3 guy?
Yeah, I think Herion has proven that he can get the job done. And I think, you know, last year's Sugar Bowl where they maybe gave him a few more bones to, you know, keep him happy and whatnot. But I think he's fine. I think it all kind of, you know, stands with how Zeus does and Zamir White and, you know, if he's healthy and whatnot. I think that'll be a huge huge boost for that running back group.
All right, next up is the secondary. Feel good about J.R. Reed and Eric Stokes. You know, he doesn't have that many starts under his belt, but I was very impressed with you know, how he came along.
That Missouri game, I mean, he kind of opened everybody's eyes a little bit.
And then Tyson Campbell, I thought he had a solid Sugar Bowl after losing his starting spot. Then you look at the other safety spot with Richard LeCount, who Kirby said has been, I guess, still not exactly grasping everything that he would like, and he's working at two safety spots now. Otis Reese been out with an illness, but you know, maybe he would push Richard LeCount for some snaps back there. Not sure, but you got to like the depth back there. You have DJ Daniel coming in from junior college. Tyreek Stevenson, the was he a 5-star or 4-star cornerback out of South Florida? So, you know, there's a lot of talent back there. They're not bringing anyone else in now in terms of freshmen. So the group they have back there is getting these 15 spring practices. And is that about right?
Yeah, I think you feel good with Reed back there, especially leading them. And, I mean, you know, like we said with Stokes, the way he finished the year, the way he kind of – I mean, that game against Missouri, I think, just opened a lot of people's eyes and realized that he could play. So, and Campbell had, a couple good moments last year, but he needs to prove that he's, you know, worthy of kind of filling the shoes of DeAndre Baker.
All right, inside backer I have next. And, okay, maybe I'm buying the N'Kobe Dean hype.
I think you are.
Because I think he's a guy that's going to be that kind of impact guy. And so you kind of raise the level of the whole inside linebacker group. And then you have Tay Crowder, Monty Rice. I mean, those are that's a good trio to start out with at that position. And then you have the young guys that were freshmen last year that you expect to take the next step as well. So what's your thoughts over there?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody talks about the offensive line and how they keep bringing in, you know, name after name after name. There's not enough places for all those big offensive linemen, but kind of the same with inside linebacker, if you ask me. I mean, they just keep stacking one good group after the other, and so a lot of competition.
All right, next one is outside linebacker. And again, Nolan Smith, Jermaine Johnson, you know, you're expecting those guys. I mean, the fact that Walter Grant moved from outside linebacker tells you how they feel about what they have there now. Actually, we didn't really mention Walter Grant as well at the running back spot. It's hard to know exactly. He'll definitely be a guy to look for in G-Day.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm telling that Ryan because Ryan was just asking me, "Hey, what pictures do we need to do for our game day, stuff in the paper?" And I forgot to mention Walter Grant would probably be in there as well.
Yeah, that's interesting as they kind of moves him over, and I guess that's for depth, like you said.
I'm impressed with Adam Anderson, especially late in the season. Yeah. That's a guy I expect to take the next big step up. You know, Brenton Cox, Olajari. It's time for these guys, Cox in particular, to probably be a little bit more productive. They're looking for the havoc, the tackles for loss, pass breakups, that kind of thing. We'll see if they can deliver.
Yeah, I agree with you. Moving on. Next guy.
All right, it's a weird position, a quarterback. I'm putting that next. Jake Fromm is elite, high level, and he, you know, if it was a proven backup, you'd probably have quarterback, maybe even higher up on this list. But I don't know what happens after Jake Fromm. Stetson Bennett is a scout team star. But, you know, he was going to Louisiana on scholarship, Louisiana Lafayette. So it's not like he had a Power 5 offer until Georgia swept in.
Yeah.
But there's no reason. You like his moxie, his confidence. It would be interesting. I'm going to watch. I'm going to be curious to see what he does on G-Day. And then Dwan Mathis, who looks like he has a very good skill set, just very raw coming in as a true freshman that's learning a system that's, Fromm's light years ahead of him.
Yeah, well, I think like most good teams, don't let your starting quarterback get hurt. I think that's where they stand.
All right, Rodrigo Blankenship is and the kicking position is the second best on this team.
Isn't it kind of crazy to think he's going to be a senior this year? I mean, golly, it's just like time flies, man.
No, I'm thinking the opposite. I'm thinking he's a super senior.
Really?
The fact that he's still here?
No. I feel like it was just like yesterday that, you know, he was auditioning at G-Day and the ham guy or whatever. It seemed like he beat him out.
It seems like a long time ago that he made that kick against Notre Dame.
That does when you think of it that way. Yeah. But I'm thinking of it as, I guess, Kirby's first G-Day game. And it's like, I don't know. It seemed like I thought he was the guy then because it seemed like, you know, coming out of high school, he was going to be the guy. But
it's kind of curious to me. I mean, do you think of Rodrigo as one of the faces of the program now?
No, never have. I mean, he's loved, beloved, but
yeah, well, I don't know how you can say that because if you listen now Saturday, I don't know what they're doing for introductions, but on a typical home game,
I know
Rodrigo's got more applause and thunderous ovations than Jake Fromm even.
I think it's because he's quirky, man.
Everybody likes it. Here's what I don't get is that like. We're getting media availability today with four players, and we'll be happy to talk to them. It's got some good variety today. But I don't think Rodrigo's been singled out to come on up to talk to the media this spring. And, I mean, he's pretty established around here. So, anyway, Rodrigo, he was second-team All-SEC last year. I'm sure he's going to tell you next time we talk to him that he's thinking even better. I mean, he wasn't a Groza finalist last year, so he's looking for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. You're not surprised. The offensive line is the king of the king of this list. What can you say? I mean, you have Cade Mays ahead of Ben Cleveland, and you have Jamari Salyer as well in the backups there. You have five-star came in from Alabama. There's high expectations. I mean, they didn't perform incredible in the Sugar Bowl. So I think they get a lot of love from the media, and that's what happens when you stack five-star talent on top of each other. But, Ryan, I know you think that they're porous and that they're going to give up a lot of sex this year.
Yeah, right. Now, they got some big boys, and, I mean, keep bringing in one after the other on the, you know, five-star, and that's obviously going to be your best grouping, I guess, out of everybody. And you know, the fact that they fight for position every week is just kind of incredible. So yeah, and so, you know, keep bringing in guys. There's gonna be competition with the best linemen in the country, you know, and if you can't get five guys out of that to do the job, then, you know, you shouldn't be contending for titles anyway.
All right, let's do some quick hitters before we get out of here. Don't really need to make too much of a mention of this, but if you were counting down the days for Georgia Indiana State in 2023 at Samford, sorry to say it's canceled. But I was wondering, like, when I reported that, I was thinking, well, is that the last FCS team on the schedule? Then I forgot that they got Murray State this year, and there's a couple more, I believe, between now and then. But are you going to be sad come 2024, 2025, when Georgia's not going to, you know, they're going to have three Power Fives, but are you going to miss these games against, a team from the Ohio Valley Conference or whatever it's from?
No, I don't think anybody will miss them, but, I mean, geez, I think that, you know, for a team that wants to challenge for championships, I mean, you got to have a breather in there somewhere, I feel like. So I don't know if it's the best thing to have 3 to 4 Power Five games every year.
Well, I mean, the cynics might say Vanderbilt might be that.
Ooh, hey.
Something like that. Except they beat Georgia at home. What was it?
16? Kirby's first year?
Yeah. All right. Did not watch the Ohio State spring game. I did see the numbers for Justin Fields. 4 of 13 passing, 131 yards and a TD. 8 rushes for 52 yards and a touchdown. It was an interesting pass that he had on that. I think it was like an 80 or 90 yard touchdown. DB did kind of fell down. Are you going to be following Justin Fields' numbers and Jacob Eason's numbers week by week this season?
Yeah, I might take a peek at it, but I don't know that I'll be following it that close. But yeah, I mean, probably I'd be more interested in Fields than Eason, I think.
Yeah. All right, basketball, quickly. Next time we talk on the podcast, Anthony Edwards should officially be a Georgia Bulldog. Now, I hope I didn't jinx him and, you know, Calipari came in and swooped him away. But that should happen along with Christian Brown. And then Georgia's also got 3 scholarships now available after JoJo Toppin is in the transfer portal and is on his way out, which is not unexpected, except for the fact that he's been practicing, doing these offseason workouts, but didn't play much. Another guy, I guess he was a Mark Fox
JoJo
commitment, yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think about that because
he was.
I know Sargunas was a cream guy, and he left. And
yeah, Ty Fagan also was a late guy last year.
And of course, Hightower was Fox.
Right. So this Harlan Beverly kid came in this weekend, a guard from Montevideo. I guess I'd say Montverde maybe. Mm-hmm. He was a stud. He played in that national tournament up in Queens, New York, that was on ESPN a couple weeks ago, and I watched a little bit of it because I figured that he might end up here. And he had some hops. He had some an all around game. Could get to the basket as a penetrator. But no, he was at Georgia over the weekend and committed to Miami a day later. So yeah, They'll have another top 100 player, a point guard, visiting next weekend. We'll see where that plays out. Gymnastics, what do you think? I think there's 8 teams left. The Courtney Coupets Carter Gym Dogs are one of them. Where will they finish in that 8 team thing?
Well, obviously it depends on how they perform there, but I mean, their last performance in Athens, they posted one of the top 4 or 5 scores in the country this year. So I guess if they do their best, probably 4th or 5th, somewhere in there. Nobody's beating Oklahoma. Oklahoma was here too that weekend, and I mean, they just don't slip, and every routine was nearly flawless. So I don't know. You know, it'd take a couple of those top programs like UCLA or Oklahoma to have some serious falls for Georgia to win, but I think they're just shooting for a top 5.
All right, quickly, women's tennis won the SEC regular season championship. Baseball hosts Clemson tonight after losing 2-3 to Tennessee. Softball got swept by Alabama. What else, Ryan? What else do we miss on the Georgia
I don't know. There's
panoramic.
Everything going on in the spring, you know. A little track and field. I think golf was Monday at the Athens Country Club or somewhere. So, anyway. Yeah,
all right, G-Day Saturday, 2 o'clock. I think it's on the SEC Network. And should be a good time.
Hey, while you're at it, guys, if y'all can find us on iTunes, hey, hit the subscribe button so you can hear us all the time. And it'll notify you when we're popping up, you know, into your iPhone and whatnot.
Ryan's going to, he's got a lot of Masters garb, as I mentioned earlier. Yeah. So if you give a good review.
Don't do this to me.
Oh, you can't do that. That's against some
kind of bribery. It's illegal. But yeah, also give us some stars. Give us some likes. Give us some feedback, all that stuff. Good feedback, hopefully.
All right. That's it. See you all next time we do the pod.